إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. So we're continuing today. We're continuing today, this Yom al-Jumu'ah, in Masjid al-Farisi, in Kuwait. And we have... Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And we are beginning now with the actual matan itself, or the beginning of the text of al-usul al-thalatha, the three fundamental or three foundational principles of Islam by the great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. And we discussed the basmala, or his statement, the Imam, when he began his risala, or his book by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we mentioned many topics related to that. So to continue, the Imam begins by saying, I'lam rahimakullah. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلَّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is yajib, it is obligatory upon us to know four issues, or to know four matters. So the statement of the Imam, إِعْلَمْ عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ إِعْلَمْ is the fi'l amr. It is the order form of the verb ilam. So this is a command to know these matters. And the scholars, they point out that when the Imam begins by saying i'lam, or when someone begins their speech by saying i'lam, they're ordering you to know this. It is stressing the importance of the matter, and it is intended to draw your attention to it, to bring your focus in, so you can pay attention to the seriousness of the matters. And it shows that this knowledge that he is ordering us to have should be sure knowledge. It shouldn't be something that we have assumptions about. It's not what we should think is true, but rather he is saying, i'lam, you must know that this is true. You must know that you have this knowledge, that you must have this knowledge. And then he says, he continues the Imam by saying, Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy upon you. And the scholars, when they explain these words of the Imam, they point out that this is from the beautiful manners of the Mu'allim, from the beautiful manners of the teacher, that he makes dua or supplicates to Allah for the student of knowledge. So he is saying, the Imam is saying, Rahimakallah, he is saying to the student of knowledge, may Allah have mercy upon you. And this is from, again, his beautiful manners, and this is from softening the relationship likewise with the student, that the student realizes that the Imam or the teacher wants good for them. It shows that the Imam has a good intention in trying to guide those people that are reading his book. So likewise, in all forms of dawah that we are doing, when we are dealing with someone who is a mustarshid, when we're dealing with someone that is seeking guidance, so when we are interacting with someone that is seeking guidance, and they're seeking advice regarding their religion, that we should deal with them in a merciful way. We should deal with them with the best manners possible, and we should strive to use those means which would bring about their guidance. Then the Imam continued, إنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. So he has ordered, know that it is obligatory upon us تعلم أربع مسائل, that we must learn these four issues, these four affairs. And he said we should pay attention and benefit from the words he's using. These are strong words. He's saying, إنه يجب علينا. This is something which is wajib and obligatory in the religion of Islam, in the Sharia of Allah, that it is upon us, علينا, it's upon us to learn these four issues. So these issues are upon the Muslims generally to learn. And it's not something which is specific to any type of certain group from amongst the people. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, in the deen عند الله al-Islam. So the religion of Islam is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon all of the people. And the religion of Islam is something that is easy for all of the people, all of mankind, to act upon if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them guidance to do that. So the aspects of the religion are not specific to any certain groups of the people. We don't have Yani that the common people are not to be spoken or taught how other types of people are, but rather upon all of the Muslims is to learn these four matters. Al-ula, al-ilmu, wa huwa ma'rifatu Allahi, wa ma'rifatu Nabiyihi, wa ma'rifatu Deen al-Islam bil-Adilla. So the first, and when the scholars discuss Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and when they recommend his writings for especially beginner students of knowledge, then from the benefits is how he breaks it down, breaks the issues down in an easy to follow manner. So he said, Walaykum As-salamu wa rahmatullah. So he said, the first of these issues is knowledge. And it is the knowing of Allah, the knowing of His Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and knowing the religion of Islam bil adillah, and the knowing of the religion of Islam with its proofs. With its proofs. So this is the first of these four obligations upon every Muslim. To have ilm, to have knowledge. And when the scholars of the Sharia, when they speak about knowledge, and when al-ilm, when knowledge is mentioned in the texts, in the Quran and Sunnah, then that which is meant and intended is the ilm al-shar'i, that knowledge which has been revealed by Allah and as it relates to the Sharia of Islam. So this knowledge is knowing Allah, knowing His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and knowing the religion of Islam bil adilla. And we spoke about, alhamdulillah, previously some of those matters related to knowing Allah. And from knowing Allah is knowing about His tawheed, knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right to be worshipped alone without any partner, and knowing about Allah's lofty names, or lofty, beautiful, perfect names and attributes. So all of this is from correct ma'rifatullah, correct knowing of Allah. And knowing, part of knowing Allah is the belief and iman in everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. And we'll get further details about that later in the book. Likewise, ma'rifatu nabiyihi. So one must have this ma'rifa, or knowledge, sure knowledge, that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last and final prophet sent by Allah as a mercy and a guidance for the creation. And likewise, we must know that we need to do everything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered with us with, and stay away from whatever he prohibited us from, and believe in everything he informed us with. And the Imam will get into more detail regarding that later on, talking about the correct belief in Muhammad Rasulullah, in our statement that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And then the third part of knowledge that the Imam mentioned, وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ, and knowing the religion of Islam with its proofs. And he specified and clarified here, with its proofs. So indeed it is not possible for anyone to know the religion of Islam except by its proofs. No one can know the religion of Islam except by its proofs. So we're not like the Sufia, or other than that from the people, other than them from the people of innovations and desires, who they might have some dream and they make that their religion. Or they go out and sit in the woods in a circle trying to speak to jinn or something like that, and then they come out of the woods and they feel like they've had some type of revelation or something, and then that is their new way of practicing their religion. No, the people of Sunnah are not like that. Rather, our Islam is based upon the adilla. Our Islam is based upon the proofs, and those proofs are clear in that they are the Qur'an, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sunnah which is likewise from the revelation of Allah. So Allah said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنَ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, and he does not speak from his own desires, indeed it is only a revelation which is revealed to him. So, as far as the legislation goes, as far as us knowing what our Islam is, what our religion is, then the Quran and the Sunnah are both wahi. They're both revelation of Allah, from Allah, and they are both to be adhered to. Likewise, from the adilla that the scholars of Islam mention based on the proofs of the Qur'an and Sunnah is the consensus of the Salaf as-Salih, the agreement of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had agreed upon, then indeed this is from our religion. This is from the religion of Islam with its proofs, because indeed the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have come together upon anything except that it was haq, except that it was truly from the religion of Islam. Athaniya. So that was the first issue that was obligatory upon every Muslim. Alladhi yajib alayna, upon all of us, as the Imam said it. Athaniya, al-amalu bihi. Thaniya is al-amalu bihi, to act upon it, to act upon that knowledge. So it is not sufficient that you seek that knowledge, the knowledge of Allah and of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the religion of Islam. It is not sufficient to only seek this knowledge, but rather the second point, which is yajib alayna, that it is obligatory upon us to know and recognize, is we must act upon it. We must act upon it. And as we have covered before, that acting upon our religion, then it has those two conditions. It has those two conditions. The first condition, of course, is ikhlas, or having sincerity in that worship that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partners. And the second condition is that it is in accordance with the Adilla, right? And as we have mentioned in the last few minutes, that it must be acting upon the religion of Islam with its proofs, meaning it must be in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So indeed, there is no benefit to knowledge which is not acted upon. There is no true benefit in knowledge accept that which is acted upon. And someone might think, oh, how can we act upon those issues that were mentioned previously, such as knowing Allah? What actions? Then indeed, from when you establish your worship of Allah, then you are acting upon that knowledge about Allah. When you have fear of Allah, then you are acting upon that. Your heart, these are from the a'malul qulub, that your heart is acting upon that. When you have hope in Allah's mercy, then that is from your acting upon that knowledge which you have. Al-thalitha. So the third point, which is obligatory upon us to know, ad-da'watu ilayh, calling to it. So this is a beautiful tartib, this is a beautiful order that the Imam has specified and laid out here, and he has done it based upon the proofs, and we will get to his proof shortly. So the third issue is ad-da'watu ilayh, calling upon it. And this calling upon it, or calling to it, then this only occurs after those first two steps have been fulfilled. So someone cannot call to Allah and the Prophet ﷺ and to the religion of Islam if he does not have knowledge about it. If he does not have knowledge about it. And this is something, this is from those differences that we see in the da'wah of the people of Sunnah, the da'wah of the people of Salafiyyah, that they seek the correct knowledge and then they strive to act upon it in themselves, and then they convey it to others whom they are able to. And it is not like we find from the many innovated Islamic political groups and parties that they'll find any new Muslim off the street, and then they'll, or this happens very commonly, that someone will accept Islam new, and then they'll go take him and have him do a talk in a masjid. Or someone will just start practicing their religion, even if they had been born Muslim, and then immediately they'll say, okay, go give da'wah in the streets. And this is wrong. This is not from the way the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did their da'wah. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ cultivated them upon tawheed for many years, and he encouraged them with righteous actions. Once the iman was firm in their heart, then that's when the salat was made obligatory. And their iman progressed over time until they were at a level that they were able to call and give da'wah and spread the religion of Islam. And this da'wah, this calling to the knowledge and the calling the people to act upon this knowledge, then indeed the person that does this should have certain characteristics. And it's not that those characteristics should be based on what they feel like. Rather, there are many proofs in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about how this da'wah should be done. So from the examples is the statement of Allah, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. And call to the path of your Lord with hikmah, with wisdom, and a good admonition. So this is from those matters and those characteristics which one should exemplify in their da'wah. And perhaps we'll get into more of those details at a later time. And from the virtues of who call to the knowledge and act upon it, then the virtues are many. And from the examples of those virtues is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whomsoever calls to guidance, then for him is the reward of that, and whomsoever follows him up until the day of judgment. So whomsoever calls to guidance, then he gets the reward for that, and the reward of everyone who acts upon that call to guidance and it will not decrease from their rewards in anything. And from the warnings about deviating in the dawah, deviating in your call, and splitting away from this correct knowledge and the correct actions, is the rest of that hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that, which means that whoever calls to misguidance, then upon him is the sin of whomsoever follows him up until the day of resurrection. So whoever calls to guidance, then for him is the reward of everyone who follows him, and it will not decrease them in reward in anything. And likewise, whoever calls to misguidance, then upon him is the sin of everyone who follows him in that misguidance, and it won't decrease from their sin in anything. And the fourth issue, this fourth point, which is yajib alayna, which is obligatory for us to know, is that we must have sabr ala al-adha fihi, that we must have patience upon the harms which come to us while giving dawah. That we must have this patience upon the harms which come to us while giving our dawah. And we should know and recognize that indeed this is from the sunan that Allah has established in the creation and in the universe, that the prophets and messengers, they were severely tested in their dawah. While the prophets and messengers were calling to Allah, they faced tremendous difficulties. And an example is how the Prophet ﷺ said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, that the most severely tried of the people are the prophets, and then those who are most like them, and then those who are most like them. So indeed upon everyone who gives dawah that they have sabr ala al-adha fi, that they have patience in that dawah and patience upon the harms which come to them from the people while giving that dawah. And indeed, so these four issues, this great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, which he mentioned, then he didn't make these points up by himself, but rather this is from istiqra, this is from reading the proofs and contemplating on the proofs. So he said, after mentioning these issues, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So he said the proof is the statement of Allah the Most High after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that which means by the time. So Allah swore by the time. Innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, mankind is at loss. Mankind is at loss. This is a general statement which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about all of mankind. Illa alladhina, except for these. And then Allah, in the next ayah, Allah said, Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Except for those who amanu, except those who have iman, wa amilu salihati, and those who do righteous actions, wa tawasaw bil haqqi, and advise each other upon the truth, wa tawasaw bis sabr, and advise each other with patience. So in this surah and in this ayah, this verse, is the proof for all of these four points, and we'll mention them again. Illa alladhina amanu, except those who have iman, those who amanu, and it's not those who believe in just anything, but rather it is those that have the correct iman, the correct knowledge of Allah, the correct knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the correct knowledge of the religion of Islam with its proofs. This is the way of those who have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That's the second point, or the proof for the second point, and those who do righteous actions. Righteous actions. Those who act upon that ilm, that knowledge, in the correct way. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And advising each other upon the truth. So this is the proof that one should call to what they know and what they act upon, that they advise each other with this truth. And fourthly, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they advise each other with patience. So indeed, throughout all of our life, we must be upon sabr. We must be upon patience in the difficulties, and from those foremost difficulties, as the prophets and messengers faced, is those difficulties and harms and hardships which come to you while conveying the correct religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll end with the statement that the Imam conveyed from Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. He said, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, that if Allah did not send down a proof upon His creation, except for this surah, except for this surah of the Quran, لكفتهم, it would have been sufficient for them. So this is an example from the Imam al-Shafi'i, which he is using to point out the great importance of this surah and the great benefits that it contains and the great degree of reflection that it deserves. The great degree of reflection that it deserves. So we'll end, inshallah, this time, this lesson, and continue with the next lesson with the statement of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and his chapter heading of knowledge before speech and action. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.